Okay, Elizabeth. Whoops. Sorry. I have a bum shoulder neck. How can I still do strength training with upper body? So, say a little bit more about that, Elizabeth, because it really depends quite a bit on the injury. Is it an injury that you've sought some medical advice on, that you've actually had some kind of a diagnosis? Is it long-term chronic injury? Is it something that you deal with regularly? So say a little bit more. So I will tell you a funny thing. So I was never a person who identified with having migraines, but in the last 3 to 4 years, I've had more than my share. I've had mine and yours. Every once in a while, I'm sweeping because I've done all of the holistic things and then resorted to, there are just times when you have to feel good. Nothing else is working. And I've taken over the counter stuff. And I've asked a lot of people, and somebody said, one thing that helps me is going to do an upper body workout, which I thought was really like, why didn't I think of that? Number one. But I think the whole idea behind it is, actually, if you're causing tension, you've got good form, you're causing tension in the right places, you are basically helping to realign yourself and potentially taking tension off of the wrong places, which is, I think, what happens when we get triggered. Usually, quite often, it's one thing happens first. Either the migraine begins, or, and it could be a food, or you're histamine intolerant and you don't even know it, and you eat histamine foods, or it's also that season might be bothering you. There are a lot of things that can trigger, but often tension in the upper trapezius and in the muscles leading into your neck and the base of your skull, your scalenes also get fired up. So it makes sense that if we could decrease that, and often I will, say there's nothing better than I'd love to get into a massage, but that doesn't necessarily all do it. It makes you feel well, really good for a while. But if you chronically can't keep that down, it will be a problem. So that would be one solution that might work for you, depending, but it all depends on the nature of the injury, where it is, what hurts, what actions make it feel better. And so there's no blanket statement that I can tell you for that one without knowing the details. And if it's, you say bum, shoulder, neck, so I don't know what that means without knowing if you've got a diagnosis or not. If you want to add a few more things and details that could possibly help. So Elizabeth says pinched nerve or something, no medical advice yet. Right shoulder and neck. So if then, so I'm going to assume a lot, Elizabeth, that this isn't something that you deal with regularly. It just happened kind of as a fluke. So a couple of things I would try is, first, relaxing it, and I will use CBD. I have a stick. It's like a chapstick, an oversized chapstick with a balm in it. And I use Blue Sky CBD. Works really well. I actually use it after really long hikes, or I will use it before a really long hike to be a preventative so that it doesn't get inflamed. But sometimes I will do that. I'll do that too if I start feeling like a migraine is triggering and it's caused by upper back and shoulders. It's one of the reasons I'm really cautious when if I haven't been using a weighted vest recently or this month. Yes, just like you in January, I changed habits too. One of the things I'm trying to get into and get back to, because it's minus two and just I'm over it. So there it was. How many days did it take me to say that? But I'm not getting outside. So Moses goes outside, but he gets to go around the house, not even the block. That's about it, a few times a day. And so I'm just trying to make the most of a shorter time of walking on the treadmill by a little more time. So 10 or 15 minutes wearing a weighted vest. But I'm really careful where I'm adding those minutes. And if I do too many days in a row, I'm avoiding that for that reason. So I would try to do everything you can to release it first, including, doing some stretching for the neck to the side, tucking in, chin to the chest, a little forceful encouragement back here. And you can take your head, push it back into your hands. And if you're getting one of those, zingers, you know what I mean? If you've been there, you know what I mean? If you get that kind of a shooter while you're stretching it, then I probably would not try to do more exercise. But if you're okay, I tolerated those okay. You might find that with good form through just doing chest press, bent over rows, so that you're pushing and pulling with literally the chest in the back, shoulders depressed, you might find you feel better afterward because you've diverted the blood flow and the tension away from it. So, no guarantees. It's all up for test and see what works for you. And I would also follow your gut. If right now you listened to that and your gut just said, I don't think so. Or if you said, I was wondering if that would be okay, I would lean into that. And you're the expert, really. It's you of one. So hopefully that helps and gives you some direction, at least in more of a this is what I would do situation. It's a little hard to give too much advice that is directly. So Carol said, first time question, week 11 of being on the program, seeing results, how should I decide which program to do next? Finishing program 3 this week. So first of all, can everybody clap? Do you know there's a way for you to show applause? I don't know what it is, but give her a round of applause for finishing. So, this is like sometimes when people are doing their first marathon. Oh, that was great. Thank you. Can we do that again? That was like a lot of fun for me. That might have been the best thing that happened in a negative 2 day. But it's like your first time marathon, you can't go back to that. But that feeling of being consistent for the first time is big. So, Carol, thanks. So, number one, I always want anybody to remember this. There are plenty of other programs in the membership. However, you can always repeat. Never feel like you couldn't go back. There is nothing wrong with that because when you go back and repeat it again, you only did that workout twice. And it was 12 weeks ago, and you're lifting a heavier weight, it will feel different. So there's always that possibility. But if you're feeling like I'm ready for a greater challenge, the way that you would decide are a couple of things. So if you were around last week and listened to any master classes, you got this, but we want to factor in any limiters, and that might be time or energy. So if those were limitations, the shorter workouts that we offer are stronger 7 and stronger 5, kind of a shorter nature. So those are in stronger 7, they're about 30, 35 minutes long. And in stronger 5, probably there's some that are 40, 45 minutes long, but there are also some other shorter ones. So if time or energy is a limiter, then one of those is probably the best solution for you. If energy is really taxed, it doesn't sound like it, or you would have volunteered that. We do have the reset programs. I say that more for anybody who's kind of thinking, what do I need right now? What should I do? So then, if you want something that is a little bit more challenging, I really like Stronger 4, and you're going to get kind of a taste of this is a little bit more about strength, true strength. This is more a muscle endurance, and this is more of hypertrophy, and then you get a recovery week. So you get a real variety in the repetition range, which means in your weight ranges. And those are the ones sitting in the corner over at your house, most likely, or the ones you use at the gym. But I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea. And as you're searching, you can also kind of for reinforcement, if you're looking on the website, you can click and you'll get the bullet list that would tell you, this is you if your energy level is good and time is not a factor, you're okay with that. So you'll get a little description in several different places about how you choose the best one for you. And that hopefully will give you some great direction. Becky said, new member here, what is the best place to start? Great question. I would suggest Stronger Three. That would be awesome. And that is kind of a sweet spot. They're not the longest workouts, they're not the shortest, but they were kind of designed for a 15 to 20 repetition range, which is really where I like to start most people. That's not so many repetitions that we're doing wear and tear on joints as far as too much, but not enough stress for the muscle itself. But we're also not going so heavy that we don't give the ligaments and the tendons a chance to build a strong foundation before we go on to do more. So we're kind of in the sweet spot of everything. That said, all of us are a little bit different, but that should be the most helpful. So 40 to 45 minutes, I like to say average of 45 minutes twice weekly, and that's all we're asking of you. And I know somebody came back and said, those are really, most of them are 40. You should say 40. And I said, I would rather under promise and over deliver. So wouldn't it be nice if you started it and it was a little bit shorter, but you still got the workout done? So I'm going to leave it at that. But if that doesn't answer a question or you want to ask a follow-up, please feel free to ask. Chris says, I have had a non-start with Stronger Seven. I should just start tomorrow. And if so, will I be able to complete the entire 12 weeks or will it auto stop once the 12-week sessions are up? Does that make sense to you? Or should I try to clarify? I think I've got you, Chris, but we now have rolling starts. So if you started, and you started on the website, you may lose access, but you would lose it for 5 minutes and then you click it and you're in again. That's it. So there's no harm, no foul. Don't let that impede. So don't look for a reason for it not to work. Just start. Okay, just do it. And if you have a problem with getting back to it, you come to me and we'll get you back in. Okay, so when we are all transitioned to the app, and this is going to be true in about 5 minutes, literally, we had a big meeting today. We had some really great news about some of the questions a couple of you have been asking, and we got the answer was yes. So many times I'm like, are you kidding? Like, this is Monday and you're telling me yes, it was a really good day. So there are a lot of good things, but when we're all in the app, you will be able to control getting in, getting out. You will, instead of having an email land in your inbox, so that, if you had to have a break during your 12 weeks and your emails just kept coming because they were automatic, you're going to be off and they're not fitting. And we know that. And I didn't have a great answer to that until now. So we've now put the messages that go weekly, that were emails, are now messages that are weekly within your program so that you can see them right there. And so you can have access to any week that you need to be in. If you have to, you get tossed out because life just interrupted you, you can come back to that program, but you might feel like, you know what, I'm going to do that week that I know I remember. I'm going to do that one again, and then I'll start going forward again. So there are a lot of ways that you could ask for help, and we can kind of direct you to do something what I just described. But you have a little more control. And we know that as women, we've been juggling things all our lives. We could probably handle some decisions. But if you need some actual coaching on the exercise, on how to use it optimally, we're here to jump in and help you on that. And so hopefully that helps. So, number one, Chris, when you come next week, I want you to tell me how your two workouts went. Okay. Okay, good. All right, Donna said, I just joined last night. Haven't started anything yet, though I'm excited to. Just wanted to pop in and listen tonight. Well, I'm glad you're here. Thank you so much. That's great. Scrolling through a little bit, hold on. Would you please describe the general goal for movement outside of two strength training sessions, two interval sessions, and one long, slow distance for a week? And that long, slow, by the way, is optional depending on what your interests are. I used to count walking as exercise, walked quickly 45 or so. 45 minutes, I think, or so, 5 days a week, and now I'm confused. Don't be confused. You were great. So, whether you call it exercise or you just call it movement, I call walking something we should be doing, like we brush our teeth right now, because we just don't get the movement in our normal lives. There's too many remote controls and Instacarts and Amazon at the door and people like me going around the block and stir around the house instead of around the block. So we need to get in that walking. So yes, and it doesn't matter what your pace is. If you're walking for a brisk pace, you're probably doing a little bit more for cardiovascular benefit. But the benefit of walking in my book is actually blood sugar control. It is decreasing cortisol and or it's cardio that will not elevate your cortisol, unless you're pushing. And if you're constantly pushing and you do the same pace and the same intensity all the time, you're probably not getting as fit as if you vary it. So whether you walk 45 minutes or you intermittently break it up and it's 20 minutes or it's 15 minutes, three or four times during the day, it all counts, all adds up. And really, it all goes in the same place. So, unless you are training cardiovascularly for something specific, you can break it up in any way you want to, but that is a great mixture right there. And so, depending on where you come from, right, you can, if you're in perimenopause, you might need zero high intensity interval training. If you're in postmenopause, you might be able to add a third or a fourth session if you're tolerating it really well. So it does depend, and you've got wiggle room. So that framework is really great, and you've got a great framework going. And then you can test it based on how you're feeling. So the question always comes back to how does it make you feel? So if you're doing all that, if we're doing all of that intentionally, anyone, we should feel like the most energetic person walking into the room. People should turn their heads because you walked in with energy that they wish they had. 80%, more than 80% of people, women, are not exercising the minimum amount to impact positively their metabolic health. So if you are the anomaly. You are changing the world because people are saying, I'll have what she's having. I wonder what she's doing. And you should be telling them about flipping 50. But the point is, if you're doing all this, you're doing it to feel better, right? And the looking better, I know, has always been a part of that, but that is a bonus. You can't get out of it without looking better. If you're doing what's right for your health, it'll show in the mirror, in the color of your skin. Your circulation improves your skin. Your eyes will be clearer. You will sleep better. All of those things are reflected. When you walk into a room, you have an air of energy about you. So if you don't feel good from what you're doing, then it's time to look at, I should probably change something. I might need more rest and recovery. But otherwise, I would say you're doing really well. And if you are trying to get some more specific results and you're not seeing the needle move, that's when ask us some questions. And there may be an exercise piece to it, but there may also be something related to your exercise recovery and or nutrition that needs to be tweaked in order to get the results. So great, great question. Alyssa said, I'm aiming for about 8,000 steps a day, but not focused on moving fast. Have noticed that my VO2 has gotten worse according to my Apple Watch. So hard to tell based on an Apple Watch, I will have to say that. Unless we take you into a lab, we hook you up to a hose you're breathing into and a hose you're expiring from, and we make you feel drooly and get you extremely uncomfortable. We don't really know what your VO2 is. I mean, it may be predicting, and maybe it's better than not having anything. But as you age, Age alone will have some impact on VO2. We have to fight really hard to get it. So if you're doing interval training and you are getting breathless, going all out for at least about 5 minutes total a week, it's all it takes. 2.5 minutes in one session, 2.5 in another. That's not all together. That's 30 seconds 4 or 5 times. Then you're probably in 5 weeks going to be able to increase your VO2 max. It's one of the best and fastest ways to do it. You can do it in a swimming pool. You can do it on a bike, on a rowing machine, an elliptical, a treadmill. Does not matter. You could do it in knee repeaters in your house if that gets you breathless. But those are the best ways. High intensity interval training will elevate your VO2. Walking may get you a little base to build your VO2 on, but it's not going to improve your VO2. Period. End of story. Sherilyn says, question and comment. I'm always so, oops, I'm sorry. Sometimes I have to move things around so that I can fully read here. Okay, I'm always so sore. No matter if I just go walking, yoga, strength, et cetera, 55, 56 in April, still have a period. Ugh, could this be what they call musculoskeletal syndrome of menopause? And you are. And so let me clarify, you don't have to hit 12 months of no period to say you're in menopause. Perimenopause is menopause, and you're in that for 11 to 14 years. So you've been here. You just didn't know it. So you're here. Could it be? Yes. So this is what we call arthralgia. So kind of a mysterious, my muscles and my joints ache. That could be. And the question really is, Sherilyn, is it new? Is it something that you're just experiencing and kind of maybe came out of nowhere? It wasn't there before, but now you experience it. For a lot of women, that's kind of what happened. I'm going to keep reading and feel free to add more. What recommendations do you have? I also really appreciate one of your more recent podcasts explaining that it's okay to not do heavy weights. Was trying so hard to lift heavy, found myself developing a painful tennis elbow. I've held back a bit and doing more reps, but not as heavy weights seems to be helping. So you're welcome. Good. And I hope everybody else heard that too. I also think, and very recently, I think the queen of, pardon my French, everyone, the queen of lift heavy shit, even Stacey Sims, and I don't mean in her disrespect. She's in a great deal of good and research, and more so getting the word out for women about being positively, proactively pursuing fitness and not starving yourself trying to do it. But she even has backed off a little bit on working quite so heavy. And I think she's seeing it as she works with different populations. So she has been an endurance athlete. So she was also a triathlete, similar to me. She was competitive, not similar to me. And so she was used to working with more elite athletes, triathletes, and endurance athletes. And so, as she's branched out, written books, she's opened the doors to more, you know, what I would call mainstream women, women who, you know, are CEOs and run the household and have families and want longevity, have real lives, have other commitments. They're not in sport and they can't dedicate all their time and energy to sport and to recovery. And you know, that's the difference sometimes between an athlete and a regular person is we don't have the luxury of, you know, sometimes those athletes are working out, but then they spend the rest of the day, you know, taking a nap, eating, you know, and relaxing before they work out again. And don't get me wrong, that's a job. That's, you know, an energy drain as well, but it's a little different kind of stressor. So even she though has backed off because now she's got people who are, you know, more mainstream. We have lives and we have other interests and our fitness is the vehicle so we can do it, enjoy it, and love it longer in our lives than ever. And I think she's experiencing that that injury rates go up when you focus on that. And she's losing people because, some of the programs that she's been involved in require 90 minutes a day, and people don't have that much time or energy to dedicate to it. So I think you're going to see a lot of people come around and realize, yes, and if you love it and you're doing okay with it, we know that it can be safe, but that you don't have to do that in order to get there is the good news. We have a wide open playing field right now. That's the most important thing. So, back to the musculoskeletal stiffness. So, a couple of things that come to my mind that I'll throw out for anybody who's dealing with something similar. I would, look at diet and just be sure you've removed inflammatory foods. And the first ones are dairy, eggs, gluten, and wheat. And those may seem like, oh my gosh, because they're such great sources of protein. And a lot of us have believed growing up that, oh my goodness, if you eliminate dairy, you'll never get calcium. It's just not true. You can get a lot of calcium from a lot of sources, and some of the plant-based milks actually have more calcium, and it's more bioavailable than dairy milk is. So if you're not, if you're dealing with inflammation of any kind, or if you have arthritis and autoimmune disease, arthritis, lupus, Hashimoto's would fall under that category. Generally, with clients, we remove them and we don't reintroduce. We're not testing them. We just remove them because they are inflammatory. And so, any way that we can reduce the inflammation that's coming in, the better. And, we generally can work around and have any food that they want without those. So that might be helpful. And then the opposite is also true, is introducing more anti-inflammatory foods. So deeply colored vegetables, berries, citrus fruits, salmon, extra virgin olive oil, making sure that you're helping yourself. Avocados have some of that property, cinnamon, turmeric, lots of those types of things. And taking supplements is probably warranted. You might do well with some omega-3s. We're going to hear more, I think, in 2026 about omega-3, because our omega-3 to omega-6 ratio is hard to control from diet alone, given that every food that's high in omega-3, which is the shut off inflammation fat, also contains more omega-6, which is the turn on inflammation fat. And we need some degree of both, just like we need good and bad bacteria in our gut, which seems odd and funny, but true. But the problem is we should be at ratio of for omega-3 to omega-6, about 1 to 3 or 4. And we're most of us at a ratio of about 1 to 20. So that means our omega-6, our inflammatory numbers are much higher. So doing everything we can and supplementing, that's been one of the things, in addition to walking with a weighted vest. I'm taking omega-3s since January 1, and just, I've gotten away from it. I don't know how or why, but I did. So I'm back on it again. And probably same as you. None of us get up in the morning and say, oh, I can't wait to take my supplements today. And nobody wants them, and they're accumulating on my counter too. But I do no longer believe we can, quote unquote, do it. And naturally is not the great word. We're doing it naturally, even by taking a supplement. But if you're not where you need to be, and something is sitting there that could help you, that might be where it go. Then, in addition, I would just do longer warm up, longer cool downs, more mobility in between. And you can always try things like taking baths, warm baths in the evening, and Epsom salt. The magnesium can help relax muscles and is probably going to have lesser of an impact on ligaments and tendons. But it's a great place once you've been in the bath and it's been warm to be able to go through a range of motion, do some stretching in the tub if you can do that. So all of those things point to we're going to all value mobility more as we age. So if you have been in the app or haven't been, get in there. And if you're a brand new member, you will, by the way, be entered tomorrow morning. So very quickly tomorrow, you should be able to have access to it. But there is a mobility section. So we have a category on mobility so that if you were testing on the scorecard and you noticed my score is not so great on that one, that would be one to get a hold of. Strength matters, power matters, but the thing that's going to keep the door open for our strength and our power and our VO2 max we talked about today is mobility. So we've got to work on that. And I hope that helped, but I also think you're on the right track as far as going heavy. And your body is probably already giving you that feedback that, if you're going too heavy, there is the are we straining or training? And we want to stay over here in that training zone as opposed to straining the ligaments, tendons, or the muscles at all. Leanne said, I've had a few things interfering with my activity routine, ongoing right shoulder, seeing a PT, of course, the holidays, and now a recent respiratory illness with fatigue, cough, headaches that come and go. Trying hard to think of ways to move indoors, but everything is exhausting right now. What is most valuable? Normally, I would be taking low and slow walks, wondering about whole body vibration and cutting back on time. Any other thoughts? So if you have whole body vibration at your service, it's right there. Definitely, I would do that because you are then allowing yourself to not actually do the physical exercise, but your body is getting the stimulation. So it's kind of tricking yourself into thinking that you've exercised, or tricking the muscles into thinking they have had the stimulus, but you didn't have to do the exertion. And that may honestly help you a little bit. So if you're when you're, I think we can all identify, we've had the flu or a cold, and for a while, laying down and resting feels really good. And then at some point, that starts to feel like that makes you ache too, right? So getting that circulation started again would be great. So at some point, you could just stand on it, and you don't necessarily have to exercise on it, but you could stand on it, squat on it, hold it. Do some balance on it, but not overdo yourself. Just do it regularly to stimulate circulation and activate the muscles. I mean, that would be a great start for you. And, I think at some point you do want to move more. There is this hard line where, if you have congestion that goes below the chest and you're coughing and you've got fluid and you've got mucus and it's here in your chest, you want to be careful about doing anything too vigorous and breathing too hard at that point because the chances we actually move it in further. But when you no longer are dealing with that and you can move and breathe a little bit harder, not a lot, but small little stints to help get the circulation going. There is that point where you cross over where that circulation will help you improve. You just have to realize that, when you start feeling better and you take a shower and then you realize, oh, now I'm done. That was the workout right there. Start small. Do it in little bouts at a time and work your endurance back up. And it will come. And I know when you're really that sick or have been for a couple of weeks, it just feels like it's going to take a while. But be really good to yourself, feed yourself really well. So this is a great time to flip the score and look at the scoreboard on how are you doing on really getting true rest and relaxation and letting yourself sleep, close your eyes, and getting in great nutrition, really focusing on. So lots of soups, lots of fluids, lots of liquids. Help yourself with sodium or bone broth is super helpful. So do everything you can there. Sherilyn said, for your cold weather, check out Sauna Space. They have a luxurious sauna light that you can just put in your desk for some red light and heat. Feels amazing. Better yet, would be their full sauna. I have one in my bedroom, but I don't even haven't even wanted to get into that because you have to get undressed before you get in. Look, it's a whole thing, right? But thank you. It's a great idea. Donna said, is skiing considered a lower body workout? Definitely. If you were doing cross country, it's definitely a workout, right? Cardiovascularly and lower body, upper body is working a little bit too. Downhill skiing depends on, how much are you doing and how good are you? So for a really good skier, just a day on the slopes might just be recovery. But if you're not that good, you're probably working pretty hard. And so it feels like, you're just going downhill, but there's a little more to it than that. So it depends really on the individual. There wouldn't be any one size fits all. So you kind of have to say, where am I with that? And how did I feel? So it's, definitely more stabilization. There's a lot of that going on. There's proprioception, feeling where you are in space, but there's some muscle endurance happening in your legs in the way that you are adjusting. So Marcia said, I've been working out for 3 weeks, 3 days a week, lift progressively heavier. Shouldn't I feel sore if I'm doing it right? No, not necessarily. So people don't necessarily feel sore as an indication of this has been a good workout or a bad workout. And a lot of times people will feel sore and think, oh, that was a good workout because they feel it. But it's actually very unique to you. So whether that is some kind of enzyme that we each independently have, but some people are never sore, some people are frequently sore, and it's not a good way to say, was that a good workout? The only real good way to know is at the end of every set, you have reached muscular fatigue. So if you're somebody who normally doesn't get sore, chances are, just knock on wood, you got lucky. And, there may be instances where that's going to be true. And yet it might be a fluke. It's not necessarily going to be your workout. It might be more related to doing something. I've moved recently, so that one comes to mind, just carrying boxes, with your arms at the same angle all day long, up and down stairs, and realizing, how is it that I could be sore when I'm actually this fit? But usually it's some kind of an anomaly. So if you're used to the movements you're doing, you may never get sore. However, you don't want to judge. It's just a matter of at the end of the set, did I reach the last one or two? I felt like after this, I'm going to lose my form and I'm not going to be able to do many more. Then you have had a successful workout. So hope that helps. Linda said, for digestive enzymes, is it safe to take at lunch and dinner temporarily? I have lunch at 3 and then dinner between 6 and 7. Is that enough time between taking them? So Linda, I don't think there's any reason not to take them at two meals. Those are two meals very close together, but certainly okay. Yep. So it would have more to do with, how large is the meal and, do you need them to break down? So if you were having a, small meal, like a smoothie at 3 maybe, and then you're having a full meal in the evening, you might not need them at both, but there's certainly nothing wrong with it. If you're eating and you notice that you're, bloated, gassy, and you want the support for the breaking down, then I would say there's no reason not to. You're welcome, Chris. Pondering on summer and my activity energy level during my summer job, would it be better for a shorter program like the mention stronger 7 and 5 or a lighter weight, more reps like stronger 3. Also did miss the Halo Q&A session. Was that open to all? Thought it was to be yesterday. It was. And if you were, Jerry, if you were registered, and I think you were because you were in a Saturday session, if I remember correctly. It was open to anybody who was registered for another session, pondering on summer, my activity level. So it really depends a little bit more on you. So I don't know what, if you're concerned about having a limited amount of energy. So if you can say a little bit more, if you are very physical in your summer work, and you're looking for how do I just balance that? Because you're thinking of it like an athlete who is in season during summer. And so we, if we were football players, we would do a strength training program, but it would be about maintenance and injury reduction. It wouldn't be about trying to increase our power, and doing the most we possibly can because we're in sport. And we want to play the hardest we possibly can in the sport. So if that's true for any of you, in an activity and you want to get outside, you're doing other things in the summer, having a maintenance program, that's actually a way that we look at, again, a big scale. That's like summer is your maybe recovery from the power and the strength that you've been paying attention to other times of the year. And instead of really pushing that, you're now just showing it off and using it. And so that would be a great balance if that's why your question came. When will the training for the Colorado trip begin? So we officially begin 90 days before. So we get hard and heavy with mileage and specifics with your training plan, 90 days. So I believe that'll be March, April, May. Yes. So the beginning of March. And Deb, I think you're on my calendar to have your first kickoff meeting. If I don't think we've done that yet. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And by the way, we have one room left on site. If anybody is interested in snagging that. Linda says you may know already, but I thought I'd mention coaching call library 8 didn't show up for me in the app on my phone when I went to my laptop, not using the app. It is there. Maybe this library hasn't been added yet, and I understand. So there are no coaching calls in the app. Just wanted you to know that, Linda. So I think you might be thinking about the website. But we're not dropping coaching calls into the app. We haven't yet. Nobody's gotten the green light for me to do that. And I organize all the content. So I think you're thinking about the website. So in the programs, in the website, if you're talking like these coaching calls, or are you talking Stronger 8? So I might be confused about what you want or what you're looking for, but there are no coaching calls at all. No audios are in the app. The audios are on the website. That's in programs on your website when you log in. Josie said, I reached for my first year anniversary, was thinking of doing a lifted one, but had eye surgery, first one eye before Christmas, another eye last week. So I've had to stop strength training for several weeks. Now hesitating between repeating 3 or doing stronger 4 because lifted one looks quite challenging. I've done 3, done 7, done 9, and 5 so far. What do you think? I think you're up to it. I think you're up to it. And here's the deal. If you start lifted one and you think this is too much, you can always change your mind. So if you're intrigued by it and you want to do it, absolutely. And yet, depending. So I know it looks like you've been off for several weeks. If you feel like you've been off long enough, you want to start with something a little bit lighter and maybe look at doing lifted one as your next program, I think that's a good plan. And you've heard me say this, I like Stronger Four. I like it a lot. If you have done Stronger Nine, I am not afraid of you being able to do Lifted One. Does anybody else want to echo that? Stronger Nine is significant. So if you've done that, I think you're op open or lift or you're up to Lifted One. What will the newest members receive an invite to the app? So after tonight, we close for that special offer that we've done. Tomorrow, the list of new members is going over. And so if you just joined within this last week, it should be like happening tomorrow. Yep. So I hope that answers your question, Alyssa. And if you had joined prior to last week or Wednesday, let me know that, but you should already be there. If so, what was the brand of omega-3 I use? I use Nordic Naturals, Lori. And where do we find the app? So you will find it depending on your mobile. If you want to use it on your mobile, it's in either the App Store in Apple or in Android app stores. Or if you want to use it on your desktop, laptop, any other device, it'll be at app.flipping50.com. But don't go there now and try to get access if you haven't gotten an invitation yet, because you won't be there and you'll be wondering, what the heck? But if you want to download the app now, you can do that. Just realize you won't have access yet if you're brand new. So hopefully that helps. You're welcome. Yes, you are welcome. And yeah, just to clarify this one again. So if you're distracted, come back to me because we've had one or two miss this. So for the app stores, that's for mobile. And you won't download from the app store if you want to do it on your laptop, your iPad, your desktop, or other device. So just for mobile, it's in the mobile app stores. Okay. But otherwise, it's app.flipping50.com. And then once you're in, you'll be able to re-authenticate your email and reset your password. But if you tried that now and you're not in, you won't be able to access. So there's not anything wrong necessarily. But if you just joined, you have to give us a minute, and it will be tomorrow that the manual invites and turnover of that list happens. So hopefully that helps. Linda says, okay, must have been on the website on my phone under programs. Yes, there you go. If you've done Stronger Nine, you should be fine with Lifted One. So Linda echoes that one too, just repeats workouts a bit more in the first few weeks. And so what she means by that is that what we have is the option for you to do three workouts, one every 72 hours, and then you can continue that pattern. So we do some repeats of you're going to insert from week two, you're going to use that one, and then you're going to come back. So we sew them back and forth so that they are a progressive kind of a program and you're not repeating the same workout over and over. But in all workouts, you're going to repeat something. And ideally, you do, because the first time you walk through a workout, unless you were planning it, it is new to you and you're kind of not in the driver's seat yet. So you're learning it kind of like a first date. You're kind of getting your way around. And then second date, kind of have it figured out a little bit and you're a little bit more at home. You know what weight to choose. You know how to push yourself. So that repetition is actually an advantage. Yes. Okay. Anybody else want to ask a question before we close up shop today? Okay, going, going, going. Chris said, whoops, downloaded, signed into the app on my iPhone. So, doing this, did you say that I won't be able to access the program from my laptop anymore? Sorry, so many questions about this. So, no, I didn't say that. is the easiest answer, but I'm not sure I'm understanding the question, right? So, if you are, using the app on your laptop. You will do app.flippingfifty.com once we have you have access. Yes. And right now, we are all in the website still, and you're doing a sneak peek of the app. As soon as we say we're flipping all content over to the app, the website, you may log in because you own an existing or pre-existing program. Maybe at one point you purchased FitU, or you purchased the After 50 fitness formula for women, or you purchased the Total Fitness formula for women, or you are a specialist. Your content will still live over at Flipping 50, and you will still have a login for that site, but you will have access to the app where the exercise videos and master classes and other content will live. But we won't have a login to the membership area over there. Hope that makes sense. All right. Josie says, so I shouldn't follow the cheat sheet for lifted one. It makes you skip around a little bit. You should follow the cheat sheet. Yes. And so I'm not quite following the makes you skip around a little bit, but follow the cheat sheet. And as you go in, you're gonna see that inside, if you're looking at the website, you're gonna see that that is given to you week by week in the order as it is. And you're gonna see in about 24 hours, you're gonna see similarly week one, week two, week three in the app if you're using it. So depending on where you are, right now we have to say both, right? Jerry said, do you know if the playlist in the app is for our downloads of music? It is not. That's a lovely idea, though. Playlists are basically your videos. Linda said, so just confirming the coaching call replays will always live on the website in programs. Always for now, but like always and forever and never should never be in a true or false question. Right now, yes, because those are also including our stronger program. Women are able to join as well as all of our members. And right now, our paid stronger members are not in the app. So we will still keep the call recordings on the Flipping 50 website. That's true. Yes. And going forward, however, we will stream from inside the app. If you want to watch there, you will be able to. So just for testing purposes, we'll probably run that through next week. And all that will happen is that if you're on the app, you'll see that we're going live. We're live streaming from the app. It'll still be here in Zoom where you can join like you always have, but you can watch it instead if you want to from in-app. So if you just want to experiment a little bit and play and see what that's like, you'll be able to do so. Okay, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your day. If it was an off day for you, a little bit more relaxed. Hope you get a little bit more. And Jerry says, I'd love more concise cheat sheets on the programs. We will work on that for you, Jerry. Thank you so much. Interesting comment. That was great, though, actually. So I appreciate you knowing you saying so. Thank you so much. Okay, everybody, have a great night.